morning, everyone. Let us open with prayer. Father God Almighty, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for our lives, Father God Almighty. We want to thank you, Father God, for what we've got in this life, Father God, through you, through your Son, Jesus Christ. We want to thank you for the promise of a new day, Father God. We want to thank you, Father God Almighty, that your word teaches us that joy cometh in the morning, Father God. And thank you, Lord God Almighty, that joy is here this morning in our hearts, that we are able to come here and come and just spend time with you, Father God Almighty, in community morning prayer, Father God, just to get a word from you, Father God Almighty, and to unite us in prayer, Father God Almighty. Lord, I pray that the message today, the message of honor, Father God, I can convey with honor, Lord God Almighty. And that you'll teach us, Father God. You'll teach each and every one of us, Father God, individually, in our own capacity, in our relationship, in our standing with you. And guide us to a path, Father God Almighty, of acting and be honorable, Father God, in what we do and how we do things. I speak for blessing, Father God, and each and everyone listening to this word, those present and those listening online, Father God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Morning, brothers and sisters. It is, I suppose, a cliche. It is an honor to be here with you this morning. And it is my privilege to share a word that I think Father just continuously deposits in my heart. It's something that that is very close to my heart, is the message of honor. Because I've learned in life that Father God wants to always wants to give us something. And for me, one of the essential ways of Him giving to me is through honor. And maybe it doesn't make sense right now when I make the statement, but hopefully by the end of my sharing here, it'll make a bit more sense. The title of today is honor, but I gave it a subtitle as well. I've got a subtitle for this, a very influential and spirit-filled son of God once made mention of the following statement. The purpose of a man is visible in the motivation of his pursuit. I'll say it again. The purpose of a man is visible in the motivation of his pursuit. And that spirit-filled son of God is me. It's my own statement. It's a subtitle of the message. It's a slogan that I believe came through the revelation that Father said to me that my purpose will always be, and not because of me being smart, but because of teachings that I've received, and that I basically developed this statement for myself, that my purpose will always be visible in the motivation of my pursuit. What I mean by that is the thing that motivates me to go after something will always reveal my purpose. If I get involved in an organization just to get a big paycheck, somewhere along the line, it's going to get seen. It's going to get seen that my motivation is money. You get involved in a relationship with someone to get something out of it. As much as you're going to try and pretend, somewhere along the line, it's going to get seen while you're in that relationship. It's going to come out. And one of the environments where motivation gets displayed very, very quickly and very easily is in an intimate relationship with a woman. When you want to get involved with a woman, your motivation is very quickly seen. It is discovered. The woman is quickly going to discover if you are in it to win a heart or if you are in it just to get into her pants. If you are in it to get something out of it, whatever. But it's going to get displayed. So you can't hide that forever. So I suppose if we want to talk about honor, we need to ask ourselves the question, what is honor? I can tell you what honor is not. Honor is not being pretentious, but rather to be authentic. That is what honor is. Not to be pretentious, but to be authentic. And what do I mean by that? Because of my background, I've got a military background. I served in the military for 11 years, just short of 11 years. Within the military, you are being taught various things and various disciplines, and you've got to do various disciplines and responsibilities and all of that. And when you do those things and you do it at the highest level of commitment, you do it at the highest level of dedication, if you do it at the cost of something that you've got to give up, comfort, you've got to give up perhaps good health, when you give it up, when you give up that commitment and dedication in the field of battle, if you give it up in the face of challenge, in the face of your life being threatened, when you come out of that, you get recognized. In the military, when you get recognized, we say you are being honored. When you are being honored, you either get honored with a letter of commendation, or a honorable mentions in dispatches, meaning that amongst many you stood out, or you get a medal. Now, medals of honor and medals of valor normally goes to people that really, at really extenuating circumstances, place their life at risk to save others. But in society, you don't even have to have been in the military for people to speak about honor in military terms. People say, when somebody speaks about somebody receiving military honors, we all know what that means. Because it's something that is revered, it's something that is looked up to, it's something that is respected, it's something that is placed on high. So military honor it's commonly known that it is something that came from distinctive service. Obviously, good service. Meritorious service, outstanding service, service of achievement. And that is associated with, like I say, a letter or a medal or a ribbon. Regarding in relation to the level of that service you gave. So I said early on, I can tell you what honor doesn't mean. I said honor means not to be pretentious, but rather to be authentic. So in order to give ourselves some context, let's look at what's the meaning of pretentious. Pretentious is the act of pretending. It's a false display. It's a claim, especially a false one, to the right of title, the right of qualification, the right of a CV, the right of distinction, is to make believe. Being pretentious is to make believe. It's making a claim making claim to distinction or of importance, which is undeserved. That is to be pretentious. And I suppose another word, a synonym that goes with that is being ostentatious, being false. And like I said, other synonyms that goes with pretentious is exaggerated, pompous, assuming, grandiose, conceited, snobbish, puffed up, vainglorious, high-sounding, or being ostentatious. What does the word say about being pretentious? Because I believe for us to understand honor, we need to understand the opposite of honor, which is being pretentious, being ostentatious. What does the word say about being pretentious? We look at 1 John 2, verse 16. And the word reads as follows. For all that is in the world, the lust and sensual craving of the flesh and the lust and longing of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, pretentious confidence in one's resources or in the stability of earthly things, these do not come from the Father, but it is from the world. That's what the word says. The word teaches us that so as many things exist within the world, as many things have been spoken into being by Father, being pretentious is not one of those things. That is something that has been developed by the world. That is something that comes out of lust. It is something that comes out of a sensual craving. It's to be something that one is not. To claim something that does not belong to you. And that is what 1 John 2:16 teaches us with regards to that. And we also now know that the meaning of pretentious and what the word says, I think it's fair to say that none of us in this house, or those listening, wants to be pretentious. We all want to be the opposite of that, which is authentic. And the meaning of authentic means a genuineness. It means to be genuine. It means to be original. It means to be undisputed of origin, of authorship, to be genuine. An authentic signature. Like your signature is when you sign a check, it's your authentic originated signature. It means to be accurate in one's representation of the facts. It means to be trustworthy. It means to be reliable. An authentic account of something is an honorable account of that thing. That's according to the Collins Dictionary. It's not because I'm smart, because I read the dictionary. So, Collins Dictionary says, an authentic account is an honorable account of that thing. So why do we want to be authentic? I think it's fair to say, and it's safe to say, it's obvious. But let's just assume it's not so obvious for some. We want to be authentic because it's honest. It's being truthful. It's being frank. It's being candid. It's having a true reflection. It's because it's honorable to be authentic. It means to be real. It means to be a true reflection. It means to be in our context, in life, not just in our context, but in all contexts, to be honorable. The term to be honorable actually means to be a good and honest reflection of Christ. So for us to be honorable, for us to honor, for us to give honor to society, for us to give honor to our families, for us to give honor to the relationships in which we are, for us to be honorable in all that we do, it means forget about the technicalities of the environment in which you are or the relationship that we are referring to. It means to reflect Christ. So for us to be honorable means to reflect Christ, because it's a reflection of Christ. Because we are made in God's image, we are made in His likeness. He actually refers to us in Hebrews as little gods, so that we can create by speaking His word in His name. So for us to do that, we need to be honorable. And to be honorable means to be a true reflection of Christ. Why Christ? Because Father sent Christ here on earth to represent Him, to show us the way. Christ came because the world lost its way. Christ came because Father God wanted to save us. He wanted to redeem us. And He sent Christ. So we ought to be the reflection of Christ. Because Christ went as far as saying, I only do what I see Father do. I only say what I hear Father said. So for us to be a true reflection of honor, it means to be a true reflection of Christ. Because now that we know, to be honorable means to honor, and to honor means to be genuine and to be authentic. Now, juxtaposed to the view and understanding that we have of being pretentious, we all understand and want to be aligned and associated with being authentic. So, let's look at what the word says about honor, seeing now that we've discovered the opposite end of honor being pretentious and ostentatious. But what does the word say about honor? In Exodus 20, verse 12, Father speaks, and there's reference made here to the Ten Commandments, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God had given thee. It's the King James Plus version. I don't know why I use that. But my understanding, or my interpretation, or revelation, if I may, of this scripture is, honor all those appointed over you, your parents, teachers, your boss, and very importantly, your spiritual leadership, your pastor or delegated authority. Father doesn't just mean mom and dad, but even mom and dad, Even mom and dad is just an appointed. It's just an appointed authority over us. Many a day, people will ask my wife and I, Madeline and I, what's a key principle for you guys in raising your kids, that you teach your kids? We are very strict parents, and I think sometimes it comes out, and sometimes people feel sorry for our kids. I can understand that, because we come out as being very firm, very hard, but that's our reference, you know. So when people ask us, what is a key principle for you guys raising your kids? We like to give the answer that we take the responsibility that our children have been awarded and given to us. They've been placed under our authority for us to raise them, because my son is not my son. He's a future husband. He's a future leader. He's a future man of a woman with whom he's going to have a union, and they're going to have their own family. My daughter is not just my daughter. She's a queen. She's a princess. She's a future wife to her future husband. So we take the responsibility for the short period that it feels long, but for the short period that we have them, if we take how long we live our lives, on average, people live to be, between 75, 85, if not older. And we only have them up until the age of 21 legally, 18 legally. So we've got a short window to take responsibility in guiding those young beings to become the persons whom God intended them to be. So that is our statement when people ask us. And when people ask us, we also like to add to that is that we want to honor God that He trusted us with them. Because that's what God actually does. He entrusted those kids. He entrusted our kids. All our kids are entrusted to us to form them in the image that God wants them to be, to grow up in. So, to give more expression to the word honor, honor means to give, to bestow, to extend, to recognize, to place on high. It means not to take things cheaply. We also learned that from the Collins Dictionary that to honor is to be genuine and to be authentic. But let's look at honor and place it in context in the word. How often does Father speak about honor in His word? How deeply does He speak about honor in His word? And the only way we can sort of like give gravitas to that is to compare it to things that we know is very important within the kingdom of God, within the church, within spiritual teaching. Of the most popular and well-known themes to be taught of in the church and from the Bible is love, faith, obedience, prayer, Holy Spirit, and receiving. And I'm going to compare honor to all of those. All of the above, I think we all would agree, are key themes within the kingdom of God. It's key principles that we are being taught on from the word. The themes that I just mentioned, love, faith, obedience, prayer, and the Holy Spirit. When we look at the Bible, I did some research. When we look at the Bible, there's 281 verses found on love. And love gets 311 mentions. So there's 281 verses of love, and there's 311 mentions speaking of love. So that's a fair amount, if we think about it. Faith, which is key to being a Christian. Faith is one of these, faith is the essential foundation of being a Christian. Faith, there's 231 verses of faith, and it gets 247 mentions. When we look at obey or obedience, 78 verses and 81 mentions. I'm not saying it's less important, but I'm just comparing here. And if we look at prayer, prayer is the foundation of our communication with Father. Prayer is the language with which we speak to Father. Prayer is the language with which we praise Father God. It's also the language with which we ask from Him. It's also the language that we come and ask on behalf of, the language in which we intercede, step and stand in the gap on behalf of someone or something. And prayer gets, there's 413 verses found on prayer, and it gets 427 mentions. And if we talk about the Holy Spirit, I mean, how can we function without the Holy Spirit? How can we go through life without the Holy Spirit? How can we pray His Father without the Holy Spirit? How can we call upon His power without the Holy Spirit? Very important, key theme. There are 467 verses found on the Holy Spirit and 549 mentions. And I popped in another one, receive, because we are serving a God that gives us, right? There's only 167 verses found on receiving and 176 mentions. Now, obviously, we want to compare that to honor, of which is our title of the message today. On honor or giving in honor, there are 947 verses. 947 verses in the Bible in focused on honor or giving in honor. And it gets 1,026 mentions on honor or giving in honor. Now, that to me highlights something. That to me highlights something. It highlights to me that Father really wants to impress upon us the importance of honor. One of the reasons why we repeat ourselves to our children when we teach them, we repeat the things that's very important, we tend to repeat more often. When they are small, we teach them, when we get to Uncle Daniel's house today, kids, say, good morning, Uncle Daniel, how are you? You want to teach them to be courteous and polite so that they can greet. When they ask, Uncle Daniel ask you, how are you? Say, no, I'm doing well. Well, thank you. Thank you for asking. So we impress that upon them when they are young. We keep teaching that. The older they get, when they get to high school, we teach them the importance of being independent, not following others. Don't be influenced by the kids who are smoking. Don't be influenced by the kids who are bunking school, skipping classes. So then we repeat those more and more. So the things that's most important in our lives, we tend to repeat more often. It's the same like in the military, again, my reference point. When you are in the unit that you are in, I was in a specialist unit that took care of a specialist unit. It sounds very ambiguous, but my unit had the responsibility of taking care of, we had various roles, but we had the responsibility of taking care of the sharp point units. The sharp point units are the reconnaissance units, the guys that penetrate the Delta forces, the SEAL teams and that. But my unit had the responsibility of taking care of them. So what that meant was we needed to make sure that when they go in, they are covered. We needed to make sure that their communications were safe. And we needed to make sure that if something happens, that we can give fire from a different angle so they can run away. They can get out. That was the responsibility of my unit. So it was to keep them silent, to keep them unseen, and also to cover them if they were seen or heard. That was my responsibility. Also to mess up some stuff of the opposing force, to make deny them their communications and stuff like that. And where was I going to with this now? Yeah, thank you, Holy Spirit. I sort of like lost a bit of my thought there. If my unit didn't honor what our responsibility was, the other unit couldn't fulfill their task because they didn't have that reassurance. They didn't have that cover. They didn't have that backup. So when we act in honor, then we are a backup. And when we focus on the things that we do most, where I was at with regards to teaching our kids the repetitive things, the things that we practice most was the things that we did most. Our primary job, we did all the time. But it was also the thing that we practiced most. So we repeat the things that is most important to us. Because that is what we are. And that is, you know, it basically emphasizes our calling and it emphasizes what we do. So if Father God keeps on repeating honor so many times in His Word, it means this is something that we ought to do. It needs to be something of our primary task. It needs to be of primary importance to us. It needs to be of something of our daily task. That's why it gets repeated over and over. It gets repeated so many times. 947 times, 947 verses and 1,026 mentions. So if honor is so close to God's heart, I believe, this is my belief, it is Father's God's will to enable us, because honor is not taking something from us. Honor is giving to us. Because through honor, when we give honor, when we show honor, when we act honorably, Father gets to us the heart of Christ. Father gets to us the essence of Him. It's to take care, to protect, to be responsible, to hold on high, to esteem, to recognize. Because that's what honor is. In the Jewish faith, when a child turns 13 at his bar mitzvah, then the child is placed on a chair in the celebrations. And part of the decree that the father of the child makes is, this is my son in whom I'm proud of. He's honoring his son. He's elevating his son, esteeming his son. He's giving his son a sense of pride. To him, honoring his son is one act. But in that one act, he gives to his son so much more. There's so much more that is being received because of honor. And we all know what God says about honor. He gives seed to the sower. To honor is to give seed, it's to sow. To honor is to sow, it's to give. It's to give. Because honor is not inherent. Honor is something that is extended from inside out. It's an outward act. You can't be honorable inside of you. You've got to be honorable in your act. You've got to display it. You've got to give honor. You can't keep honor here inside. Someone won't know that Jason is honorable because he's quiet. It's because Jason acts honorably, because he does honorable things, because he's honorable in his commitment. So what does honor mean in Solomon's porch? I don't know if you asked yourself that question before. My understanding for honor in Solomon's porch, and that would be to any spiritual household. I honor God here in Solomon's porch. And how do I honor God? With praise and worship. I give my all in recognizing the Godhead, the Holy Trinity, Father, God, and the Holy Spirit in my worship. That is what I understand honor means in this house, and the finished work of Christ. How do we honor here in Solomon's porch? We honor his word. Not only by speaking it, by striving to accurately live it as well. That's how we honor his word. How do I honor this house? Never mind, how do we honor in this house? How do I honor this house? I honor this house, Solomon's porch, in my serving. And when I serve in excellence like Ernie. Ernie's, since I came here 4 years ago, it's just a little bit less than 4 years ago. I came here, we came to Solomon's porch when we were, I think, 3 months in Hong Kong. That was in 2016, in March of 2016, the second weekend of March in 2016. And I met Ernie, I think I met Ernie the second week I was here. I saw him the first week, but I met him the second week we were here. And ever since then, I know Ernie as a serving member of this house. Ernie is consistent in serving. He's always there. He's not just serving on one front. He's serving on many fronts. I had the pleasure of serving with him on one or two fronts. And in his serving, he's honorable in that too. He's diligent in that too. That's how Ernie honors Solomon's porch. How do I honor God in Solomon's porch in honoring? How do I honor God? I honor God by honoring the set man. Who's the set man? P. Sam. He's the set man. He's the anointed one. He's the appointed authority in this house. So I honor God by honoring the set man, the man that he has anointed as the delegated authority in this house. And it is Pastor Sam and his family. It's not just him. It's him and his family. The entire pastoral staff, but it starts with Pastor Sam. By praying and interceding for them, and the call on their lives. In honoring Peace Sam, I honor God and I honor his delegated anointed. That is how I honor God. I can't say I honor God, but then I have got disrespect for Pastor Sam. I can't say I honor God, but I have got disregard for his family. I can't say I honor Peace Sam, but I never care about his family. I can't say I honor him, but I just brush his kids aside when they need something, when they're in trouble, when they're in distress, or even when they do wrong. And I don't step in and help them the right way, in a right way, in an honorable way, then I can't say I honor him. I can't say I honor P. Sam if somebody bad mouths his wife, Lisa, and I keep quiet. I can't say I honor him. How am I honoring him by keeping quiet? Remember what I said earlier? Honor can't be kept inside. Honor is an act that is displayed. You have to act out honor. Honor needs to be given. Honor needs to be shown. And people, an audience needs to observe that. And that's the only time then people can call on you and say, you acted honorably. So as much as I want to honor God, I need to honor P. Sam. As much as I want to honor P. Sam, I need to honor his family. I need to stand in the gap for them. I don't just honor them in public display, but in my prayer life, I intercede for them. I pray for them. I pray for the call on their lives. I pray for protection over them. I pray for provision for them. I pray for open doors for them. I pray for protection of relationships that is not pure from them. That is how I honor. I also need to honor the representation of my house. Because where I go in the name of, I need to strive to represent accurately. When I go in the name of Solomon's Porch, when I go and represent at a conference, when I go and speak on behalf of Solomon's Porch, when I am invited to come and speak, perhaps in a personal capacity, but as a son of Solomon's Porch, I need to be accurate in my representation. I can't go out there and have different values than the values that I've got here in the house. I need to act out the values of the house. How do I honor the delegated PSAM in a further and extended way? In the same way that I would serve him. In the same way that we would serve Pastor Sam, we serve his delegated. Because just as much as God delegated and anointed him and delegated him, he can delegate too. He's got other pastors serving here in this church too. So, in honor for me to show honor towards PSAM, I need to honor all the pastors in this house. I need to honor all the leadership in this house. Everyone that has been appointed, I need to honor. So the same level, the same level to which I will bow down to PSAM to make an impression, it must be the exact same level to which I will bow down and make an impression to the other delegated leadership. That is pastors, that is the office staff in their capacity as administrators, that is house church leaders, that is ministry leaders. We need to learn how to submit. Sometimes we want to go serve, but we think we know better than the leader in that ministry. Yeah, maybe you know better. Maybe you've got more experience. But for the time being, that is the appointed leadership. So when you want to know better and you've got better suggestions or proposals, then you do it in an honorable manner. You don't upstage the leader. You don't usurp the leader's authority. You don't usurp the leader's respect. Because you might think you're going to get respected through that. No, brother. Sister, no, it's not going to happen. You will not. You will, in actual fact, it will get erased. So when a guest speaker comes to this church, as a guest speaker, I need to serve that guest speaker and treat that guest speaker as if he's the pastor of this church. Because he's been recognized by the pastor, been invited by the pastor of this church to speak from the podium. And the pastor of this church we know by now, because he's the father of this house, he does not just invite anybody. He only invites those whom he knows of and he knows about and he knows their message. So he respects them. That's why he brings them here. So we need to convey that same level of respect. How do I honor more the set men of this house? How do I honor PCM in a deeper level? I give myself. I give of myself. I give my service, I give my heart, and I also give my love. Because all of these things, what does it mean without love? We all know that scripture. We can raise the dead. We can heal the sick, the word says. But without love, it is nothing. Something that might shock you, but this is something that I've learned a long time ago. I've served many pastors. I've served my pastor, and through serving my pastor back in South Africa, I served many pastors. I learned this very important thing, and it saved my life. That you cannot serve the anointing, because the anointing comes on a man without the man. You can't serve and say, I serve P. Sam because of the anointing on his life, but I don't like him. Because the anointing that you are serving was placed on a man. So the anointing is like a cloak. That cloak means nothing. It can't walk on its own. It needs to be worn by someone. So that anointing is worn by P. Sam. The anointing that is worn by P. Sam. I can't serve that anointing without the man. So when I say I serve that anointing, then it means I serve that man. So we serve an anointing because we are in love with the anointing. We are attracted to anointing because it comes from God. Guess what? You can't serve the man without loving the man. You cannot serve your pastor. You cannot serve whomever without loving the man. You cannot. Because that anointing comes on the man. So if you love that anointing, you've got to love the man. And if there's something wrong with the man, then you pray for the man. You don't gossip about the man. You don't go and get other people to believe with you the shortcomings of the man. All of us have got shortcomings. But how do I honor him? I love him. And how do I love him? I pray for him. I intercede for him. And that's how I honor the man. A simple example of that is, you can't make love to your partner, your husband or your wife. You can't make love to your partner without a covenant. You can't make love without a covenant. And that covenant is marriage. And only in a covenant relationship can you make love. Only in that covenant relationship. Our relationship with our pastor is a spiritual covenant. So I can't interact sexually, intimately. I can't know my pastor like it makes reference in the word. Adam knew Steve. Adam knew Eve. Jesus Christ, forgive me for that. I don't know why I said that. Adam knew Eve intimately. It meant they made love. They were in a covenant relationship. I cannot be in a covenant relationship. I cannot have the benefits of love from a covenant relationship, from a relationship, if I'm not in a covenant relationship with my pastor. It means what you want from that relationship is something that you can't bribe for. It can't be extorted. You can't pretend. Sex you can buy. You can go into a prostitute and buy sex. You can't buy love. You can't buy making love in an intimate relationship. It is only received through a covenant relationship, only. And my comparison might sound harsh, but that's how harsh it is. If we do not honor our father, our spiritual father, in an intimate sense, recognizing that we're in a covenant relationship, then we can't get the benefit of that relationship. And how do we display our covenant relationship? We allow ourselves to become vulnerable. We give ourselves emotionally and spiritually. We allow ourselves to submit. We battle with that. We pray to God. We still battle with that. I confess to a brother. I still battle with that. I come to the river for inner healing. There are ways in dealing with that. So it's not something that is an impossible task if you're finding it difficult because of hurts of the past. We can deal with that. The house can deal with it. There are processes to deal with that. But the main thing is to get yourself to the place where you can honor, and honor in the true sense of the word. I'm just skipping a few things because otherwise I'm going to run out of time. What does honor give me? What does it give you? Honor grants us access. It grants us access to loving our Father, our Heavenly Father. Because when we praise Him, we honor Him. We sing it in our songs and our praise and worship. We love You, we honor You. So when we honor our Heavenly Father, it grants us access because we worship Him. When we honor our spiritual Father here in the church, it grants us access. Because surely there's so many people here that there's so many responsibilities that Pastor Sam has got to deal with. But you know what? When you honor Him, He finds time to honor you. He finds time to serve you. And sometimes even when you don't honor Him, He's going to find time to serve you because He wants to unlock your heart. Because the anointing that He has received from God, it comes with a whole lot of love and mercy. And even sometimes He might not want to, the sinful man, Samuel's song, might not want to. But because of the anointing, then Father speaks to his heart and says, have some mercy on Will. He's lost his way a bit. Have some mercy on him. Spend some time with him. I know he's not been honoring you, but I want you to go and serve him. Then he'll serve you because it's all in aid of unlocking your heart so that you can come to the place of honor. So don't just lust after P. Sam, because if you lust after him, you're just after the anointing. You need to love him in such a way that you honor him, you honor his family, that you honor his time. It means that, honor also means that I will understand when he doesn't have time to meet with me. Because sometimes you'll overhear a conversation in social circles that, no, last night P. Sam had dinner with Max and Belinda. Oh, he's got time to have dinner with Max and Belinda, but he's never got time to have dinner with me. No. You can't say that. Max and Belinda honored him, perhaps in some way. They serve him. And who knows? Max and Belinda might need to see him because of someone else in the house, because they are leaders in the house. So it is not pure to think that. All you need to do is you honor him. You honor his time. You honor the structure around you. If you want to get a message to him, it's not essential that you convey the message yourself. Sometimes you can convey it through someone. That's what honor is. And you know what honor me? What honor does? When sometimes that message gets to him, then he wants to speak to you. Not because he has to, but the love of Christ draws that. Because honor begets honor. Honor buys you time. Honor buys you the focus of the Lord. That's what honor does. When you give honor, you get. I said earlier, I'm sure Father wants to get something to us. I believe honor is the vehicle through which Father wants to give us. If we honor more, we're going to give more. We're going to get more. Honor allows us access. Honor opens the door. Honor opens the heart. Honor allows the eye to see, the mind to comprehend, and the heart to perceive. Honor is deep. Honor cannot be bought, cannot be extorted, it cannot be pretended for. Honor is real. How do I honor this house even more? Through my commitment in sitting under the teachings, striving to understand it. When we get to house church, to apply my mind, to apply my spirit, to apply my prayer life, say, Lord, how do I understand this word? To engage with the word when it is being discussed in house church. That is how I honor this house. Not just by coming on Sunday, because I'll fall asleep as well. Some people perfect the art of sleeping with their eyes open. I honor by listening to the word, studying it. And when we get to house church, I interact with it. Honor means the word that I receive here, I will steadfastly walk with. I will take that word and I will go weigh it in my life and see how relevant it is to my life. And that's how we express love. That's how we express our love to Father God, is by taking what we have been taught through His word and by making it our own. That's how we express our love to Father God. So, for me to love Father God, derived from honor, for me to love Father God, I need to honor and love His represented and delegated authority in humankind, which is the spiritual father of this house. Then I also need to love and respect and honor His delegated authority, P. Sam's delegated authority, the other pastors and house church leaders in this house. That's how we honor. Honor works on different levels, on tiers. So if I can't honor my wife, if you can't honor your husband, how are you going to honor your house church leader? If you can't honor your house church leader, how are you going to honor the pastoral staff? If you can't honor your pastoral staff, how are you going to honor Pastor Sam and his family? If you can't honor Pastor Sam and his family, how are you going to honor God? Because it's delegated authority. It's delegated authority. So it starts with you and your household. How I love my wife and how you love your husband. How we love our children. Honor them. Extend it to a house church leader, greater community. How do I honor my boss? My boss might be someone who appears to be evil, but in my responsibility in that, the duties with which I was charged with at the company, I need to be honorable to my boss. I need to be honorable to the company that I work for. I can't say he's an ungodly man, so I don't need to honor him. I'll show up late. I'll take office supplies for stationery for my kids. No. It's dishonorable. You need to honor him, even if he's ungodly. You need to honor him. You need to pray for him. In closing, I want to leave you with a question. I want to leave you with a question that I had mentioned in the beginning as my subtitle. What is the motivation of your pursuit? What is the motivation of your pursuit? I'm going to tell you what my motivation is. I want to get from God as much as I can. So in order for me to get that, I've learned I need to honor him. I need to honor the structures that he's appointed over me. I need to honor the leaders that he's appointed over me. I need to honor my family. I need to honor the families of those he's appointed over me. I need to honor. I need to honor society, community. I need to honor my work. I need to honor all responsibilities charged upon me. Because it's not just in the church. It's in all my life. It's in all my life when I give honor that Father gives to me. Father doesn't just give me when I'm here in church. He gives me out in life as well. He gives us in our daily walk. So I'm asking the question again. What is the motivation of your pursuit? Brother Ani?
Amazing love that welcomes me, kindness of mercy, that bought his blood wholeheartedly, my soul and this earth. You're so good, God, you're so good, God, you're so good, you're so good to behold the cross, age to age, and hour by hour, the terrible race, the sinner's sin, the work of your power. Oh God, you're so good. God, you're so good. Oh God, you're so good. You're so good. Oh God, you're so good. Oh God, you're so good. Oh God, you're so good. You're so good to me. I am blessed, I am called. I am healed, I am whole, I am saved in Jesus' name. Highly favored, anointed, filled with your power for the glory, Jesus' name. I am blessed, I am called, I am healed, I am whole, I am saving Jesus' name. Highly favored, anointed, filled with your power for the glory of Jesus' name. And should his life bring suffering, but I will remember what Calvary was brought for me, but now and forever. Oh God, you're so good, yes God. Oh God, you're so good. Oh God, you're so good. You're so good to me. Oh God, you're so good, Lord. Oh God, you're so good. Oh God, you're so good.
Praise his precious name. Praise the precious name of God, because he is good. God is good. He is good. He is good. God 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 is good all the time, and all the time God is good. God is good. Praise God for that worship. Thank you, Brother Ernie. Father God, thank you for the message this morning. Father God, thank you, Father God Almighty, for speaking in our hearts. Father God, we trust, Lord God Almighty, that through your Holy Spirit you will take the word and you'll make the word grow in our hearts, Father God Almighty. And for us to grow in understanding, Father God, towards the word. And we thank you for the word this morning, Father God. But brethren, I want us to focus on our CMP for this morning, our community prayer for those suffering with cancer. Let's call the Spirit of God and the capacity of God in the lives of these our brothers. Let us also focus on those suffering with illness and needing salvation in our community. We also pray for those with infirmities in our community. Let's also pray for those seeking jobs in our community. Matthias Weiskopf, Adrian Luke, Terrence Ma, and Gina Lee. Let's just call, Father God Almighty, we just call for open doors, the doors that you open in their lives, Father God. We call for your provision, for you are Jehovah Jireh, Father God Almighty. You are the provider in their lives, Father God. Let only you be the provider, Father God Almighty. We ask, Father God Almighty, that they recognize the doors that you open unto them, Father God, and accept the ones that you close that is not perhaps meant for them, Father God. We speak, Father God Almighty, that there will be provision within their lives, Father God, and they will have nothing lacking, Father God Almighty, and that they'll be well provided for in this time, Father God, in Jesus' mighty name. Let's also turn our attention to our mission focus, North Korea, for open doors and of ministry, for missional opportunities and partnerships in Asia, and for the persecuted churches, and specifically the Middle East. I think when we pray for the partnerships and the mission opportunities in Asia, we also need to thank God that as much as there's oppression on the church in China, Christianity is growing in China. It's multiplying in small house churches. It is growing, and we need to praise God for that, and we need to give praise and worship unto Him for allowing His Spirit to be so authentic, for His Spirit to be so real that the church can grow under those circumstances. But let us also pray for the weekend gatherings, outreach, retreat that is taking place, PMC, prison outreach, drug rehab, the migrant workers outreach, Sunday services, Noah's Ark, worship and hospitality, SP Youth, spin and spill services and activities, and then LAM and all meetings. Let us also pray for springs, breakthrough, unity and protection over all LAM couples, LAM retreat, and the core team members. Let's not forget, when we pray for these couples, we pray for the leadership as well. We pray for Pastor Sam and Lisa. We pray for Max and Belinda. We pray for Ken and Lishan, who are taking leadership, for Ben and Aaron, who has taken up responsibilities for this. And we cover them all, not just the attendees, but we pray for the facilitators and leaders as well. Let us also pray for the house churches gathering today. King's Court, Marwan, Southside, Westside. Let's turn our attention to Hong Kong. Let's pray for Hong Kong, for the current circumstances. Let's pray for the Spirit of God to just descend upon Hong Kong. Let's pray for the change of God to take place within the city. But for the change to take place within the city, let's pray for the change of God to take place in our hearts so that we can extend it to our communities and the communities to the entire city. Let's pray for the kingdom of God to just come in the city. Oh, come, come heaven, come to Hong Kong. Oh, Father God Almighty, we pray for the city of Hong Kong. We pray for this place where you have placed us, Father God. Some of us are here permanently, for this is our home, Father God. And some of us are here temporarily, Father God Almighty. Some of us have been identified to come and serve a purpose for an unknowing time, Father God Almighty. But be that as it may, Father God, this is a place where you have placed us, Father God. We know what your word teaches us about that, Father God. The place where I've exiled you to, Father God, your word teaches that we should pray for that place. We should set up shop in that place, Father God. We should make that place as if it's our permanent home, Father God. We should pray and intercede for that place, Father God. We come now, we pray and intercede for Hong Kong, Father God. Bringing it before you, Father God Almighty, and asking, Father God, have mercy. Have mercy on this city, Father God. We pray for the leaders of Hong Kong, Father God Almighty. We pray for the protesters, Father God. We pray for all leadership in the police itself as well, Father God Almighty. We ask, Father God Almighty, on all of them, Father God, have mercy. But Father, we ask, Father God Almighty, that within all the individuals involved, Father God, we call upon your Spirit to just come and descend upon them, Father God, to give them a heart of flesh, Father God. We pray for the hearts of stones to be broken down, Father God, and for you to give them hearts of flesh, Father God Almighty. We ask, Father God Almighty, that consideration goes out, goes open into their minds, Father God, that there's more consideration and compromise, Father God, so peace can come back to the city, Father God. We want to thank you for all the good things that you've done for Hong Kong, Father God. We want to thank you for the blessing that you've placed upon Hong Kong, Father God. We want to thank you for the provision that we have here in Hong Kong, Father God, because of your provision, Father God Almighty. We want to thank you, Father God Almighty, for the fruit that we are experiencing in Hong Kong, Father God. Thank you for the safety that we've experienced all our lives here, Father God, and the furthermore safety we're going to experience in the future, Father God. We want to thank you for the stability that's coming, Father God. We're speaking of the stability and the peace, Father God, as if it is, Father God. It's not yet, but we speak of it as if it is, as your word teaches us, Father God. We bind the activities of the enemy, Father God, and we cast them, Father God, into the darkness, Father God. And we call for your Spirit of peace. We call for the Spirit of the Shalom peace of Jesus to come over this, your city. We thank you, Lord God Almighty. We honor you, Father God Almighty, and we give you all the praise. I'd like to invite you to stay. You're welcome to stay and spend more time, personal time in prayer. But those who want to leave, you're welcome to leave. And thank you very much for attending.